The show that's supposedly a little bit about unity. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the Vinny Eastwood Show.com. Having a heck of a good time despite the fact that everything is going somewhat awry globally. You know, Don't let tragedy get in the way of a good time, I always say. Which is why I like the Iraqis, because despite the fact that they get treated like Shiite, they still maintain their Sunni disposition. And I'd also like to give a big shout out to our fabulous listener in Tunisia at the moment, Ahmed, who is currently in the middle of a, well, Tunisia is in quite the bad state of affairs, ladies and gentlemen. Apparently, they're just, cities are on fire and people are rioting in the streets. It's terrible, man. Very, very, very terrible stuff. Unfortunately, though, we live in New Zealand where that kind of stuff isn't going on. Oh, yeah. Now, I would like to mention something that was posted on the Vinny Eastwood show earlier today by Claire Swinney. HAARP and major worldwide seismic activity. It's a little video of this guy running through a list of seismic readings of areas around the world and everywhere, pretty much, well, a lot of places at least, are all having high levels of seismic activity simultaneously. So a little bit freaky. Goodness knows what all that's about, but apparently people are claiming HAARP and all of this other kind of stuff. You can watch the video on the Vinny Eastwood Show Facebook group, the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will Ryan Facebook group, or at patriotspace.whynotnews.eu. That's patriotspace.whynotnews.eu. EU. And I'd also like to thank very much our fabulous listeners who join us every day on the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will Ryan Facebook chat so that we can basically just have a few laughs on the side during these terrible freaking times. And would anybody like to, you know, argue with me on that it's a good idea to have a good time? Maybe people would. Maybe people want to be miserable or, you know, destroy everything like the New World Order does. But not me. I'm having a great time messing with the New World Order. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio. We'll be right back, folks. And welcome back. Oh. Welcome back to the UN-controlled Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, Rush 89 FM in Hamilton, and of course, the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. If you'd like to join the action, we have a couple of options for you, apparently. You can go to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will Ryan Facebook group. There are links to that on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And also, hopefully, we'll crack the lines open next segment so that you can call up and, talk about whatever the heck you want to talk about, you know, because that's the kind of spirit of the show. We just, well, say what we feel within FCC regulations, of course. Now, environmentalists start Israel's worst ever fire. And Greenpeace blames global warming. Since from guerrillamedia.co.nz. The worst fire in Israel's history has been the cause of some embarrassment to Greenpeace and other global warming activists when some uncomfortable facts emerged recently. And see, this is the false flag kind of thing happening here. You'd expect that, environmentalists who are saying, oh, there's global disasters everywhere, would start staging a few and then say, hey, look, there's global disasters. Late last year, Israel's worst ever forest fire was blazing out of control, kind of like Greenpeace activists, destroying homes and releasing untold quantities of CO2 into the atmosphere. Over 5,000 hectares of forest were utterly destroyed, and experts say it will be half a century before the forest gets back to anything like its former state. And of course, they don't debate the premise of global warming being a scam here, of course.
It all just goes on top of their theory, doesn't it? It all just adds to their pile of nonsense.
They're promoting global warming in the wrong way. You know, you're not supposed to burn stuff down. You're just supposed to carbon tax everybody to death and destroy human industry.
I mean, they can't even work this out, Vinny. They say it releases untold amounts of CO2 into the atmosphere by burning this timber. How did the timber come to contain CO2 in the first place, I wonder? Oh, it didn't come from the atmosphere, did it?
No, it just materialized out of nothing, because that's what CO2 does. It only turns into bad CO2 when it's used by human activity. That's why humans are bad. Greenpeace lost no time, of course, in pointing the finger squarely at global warming and issued a press release demanding Israel abandon construction of a new coal power station. How do you get coal? From trees. And calling for all comrades to join the quote-unquote international struggle. You notice how these greenies call each other comrades? Because that's what they are. They're a bunch of communists, all right? It's the watermelon philosophy. Green on the outside, red on the inside. Back in the days when, in the McCarthy era, when communism was something that was actually cracked down on by government, God bless him. I joke. He's pretty ruthless. And I was thinking everybody
McCarthy
should
was
have.
Right.
Yeah, well, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't, because what he did really is he forced them underground. He turned communists into progressives. He turned communists into environmentalists, and people still haven't figured it out that that is what the communists became, okay? They didn't change their mantra or their rhetoric or anything like that. They just changed the label so that they're more difficult for people to recognize.
Well, people haven't figured out that brown shirts became local police officers either.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the history and toil and trouble and all double bubble. Greenpeace wishes to emphasize that this fire is a direct expression of the effects of climate change and global warming that threatens us all. Climate change is already here and is taking a heavy human toll, they said. Israel must take this warning sign seriously and take immediate measures in order to eradicate the effects of climate change. You just love it how they use the word eradicate, Will. It's almost as if they're really, really loving leftists who just want to eradicate ravages of time, you know.
Immediate measures. The time for debate is over. We need
immediate eradication.
A red solution.
Oh, yeah.
This is so ridiculous. It's so... I don't know what even the term for it. It's just so asinine. It's so mind-bogglingly ridiculous to think that they have godlike control over the atmosphere. And hey, if all the governments agreed, and the US and Australia and all these people stopped being difficult, we could just end climate change this week.
Yeah, yeah, means. Yeah.
What does that mean again? To end climate change? What are we fighting again?
Yeah. Oh, we're fighting the natural process of the Earth. And obviously humans have such sway over what the Earth does that, you know, people in Australia could have easily stopped them floods from happening. They could have easily stopped the Haiti quake from happening. These natural Earth processes are all man-made.
These people, like, literally think they're Moses or something, eh? They can just part the seas and stop the tides.
Hey, I wish I was Moses so I could part the sea of those reds.
I wish I could throw them to the sea. I mean, boy.
Yeah. They're mental. Throw them to the lions, you know.
Well, they want to dissolve us in acid and wash us down sewer systems. That's come out. The EU considering that. I mean, absolutely ridiculous. Dissolving human bodies with acid and washing us down so that we don't emit CO2 in our decomposition process. It's not enough to kill us. They got to kill us properly, then chemically dissolve us.
Funeral in a bottle, brought to you by climate cultists.
It's just mental, man.
Absolve your sins against the earth by dissolving your loved ones.
So here in my local town, we've got these people who on one hand are going, oh, free Palestine, oh, they hurt these people, which I agree with. But, you know, they're all liberal. Oh, they're hurting children. And then on the other hand, they're just like, planet's overpopulated by about 5 billion people. We got to go. It's getting warm around here. they're just complete hypocrites. That's their veil. The veil is we care for the children, just like the CPS workers. And then what they're really about is, I don't know, some sort of weird Gaia worship, like aligning their chi with Lucifer or something. They're nuts. Totally nuts.
Yeah, and the Green Prophet, interestingly enough, this is a green magazine, the Green Prophet. That doesn't sound like a religious cult at all, does it? Greenpeace responds to the Israel Carmel file. It's what known as the sign of the burning bush, Greenpeace style. However, didn't have much to say following an investigation by Israel's fire service, which discovered that the fire was started by global warming activists in a rainbow camp. The cause of this particular fire was, sadly enough, the good intentions of a participant in the Rainbow Festival that was being held at the site for ecological reasons. She burned toilet paper she had used so as not to leave it in nature. And in normal circumstances, that would have been the thing to do. However, due to the strong winds and the unseasonable hot air, the dry grasses caught on fire immediately and the fire spread in four directions simultaneously. You know, talk about wiping out a forest. And Greenpeace have yet to retract their statement blaming the fire on global warming, of course. You know, out of the mouths of babe and out of the ass of activists, you know.
I just can't believe that these leftists can see that the fake conservatives over on the right just blame everything. Terror, Al-Qaeda, war on terror, 9/11. You know, and that's their catch-all terminology. But then on the left, we've got this more abundantly used catch-all term, climate change, which is just like the biggest false flag op ever conceived of, I think. I'd say the climate change scam is definitely bigger than the war on terror scam. And it's almost as big as an external threat, Eisenhower-style alien invasion.
Well, it is certainly much, much bigger than the terrorism scam, because I don't hear terrorism every single time I turn on the television. I hear climate change, right? I hear it every single day because supposedly climate change is responsible for everything that happens. Everything, you know? Somebody gets hit by a car because they didn't look both ways. Climate change.
Yeah, I mean, look, they got their own pages in the end. They run so many articles in the New Zealand Herald that they divided up Section A, where they have a green section of, like, I don't know, two double page spreads. And it's just divided, and the green section isn't about, you know, like stopping GMOs or getting fluoride out of the water or, you know, anything real, like, you know, stopping deforestation of old timbers. It's climate change causes rats in Malaysia to decrease fertility rates or something. Climate change applied to any the most obscure things you could imagine. You know, squirrels' sexual organs not developing fully due to climate change.
Seriously, man, no. And it was like the point that was made in that movie, the Great Global Warming Swindle, wasn't it? Well, that if you wanted to get funding for anything, if you want to study anything, whatever, just relate it to climate change, and you'll get your funding. Look at a split.
And then these like effeminate or you know weirdo leftist art degree, I don't know, whore jonos make copious amounts of money out of writing these articles for all the suckers out there. I mean, hopefully they don't believe the trash themselves, but I just see all these, I know nothing about history sort of people, wet behind the ears, idiots, writing article after article after article saying how man is ruining the planet and it's for none of the reasons we can actually cite and document, such as PCBs or heavy metals being buried in the earth, and it's for no actual scientific reasons other than this inconvenient truth nonsense. It blows my mind. It absolutely.
Well,
I can't.
The question I'd like to ask a climate cultist, and I'd want an honest answer. Do you think that it's a great idea to exterminate the bulk of humanity in order to save the earth? You know. And invariably, I'm pretty sure quite a few of them would say yes, because, you know, humans are freaking dangerous. And that really kind of sums up for me the whole spirit behind it. It's not about saving the environment, which environmentalism was born out of the fact that we've got filthy water and contaminated food and disgusting air, because our engines are designed to only burn about maybe 10% of the petrol that goes through them. About 90% comes out the freaking exhaust pipe. No. That doesn't matter whatsoever, because that would mean people would be able to traverse around without polluting their air, you know. And it's not like I'm talking about it affects the climate or anything. If you go to Egypt, right, and you go to Cairo, it is the equivalent, because it's so polluted, it is the equivalent of smoking 2 packs a day just being there, all right? That is pollution that needs to stop. If you want to talk about food, talk about Monsanto contaminating everybody's dang crops with their GMOs, which you can't stop. And as soon as the GMO crops start infecting your naturally grown organic fields with their crud, GMO enforcement police with Z tattooed on their frickin' foreheads come out and take your farm off you. That needs to stop.
Yeah, because you know why they don't go there, Vinny? Because it's a corporate-backed movement. That's why they don't take on Monsanto. That's why they don't take on these real slime ruining our planet. Because mm-hmm. they're a corporate agenda with this overlay of environmentalism, and they've worked their way into Oxfam and Greenpeace and 350.org and any other sub-ADIQ group you want to name. You know, like they're a disease. They're a modern disease, and they give meaning and caring and some sort of humanitarian aspect to yuppie shills and their pointless existence.
Well, this brings us on to an interesting article here in gorillamedia.co.nz. A new measure of intelligence. Big picture thinking trumps narrow-minded expertise. Observing the various realms of science, medicine, experts, and world events come to the conclusion that our modern definition of intelligence, IQ, is seriously lacking. The label of high IQ is typically assigned to those who are experts in narrowly defined fields such as disease pathology, pharmacology, particle physics, mathematics, or other so-called hard science areas. And yet, it's not uncommon to see a high-level mathematician professor with an IQ of 175 chowing down on a processed hamburger laced with toxic chemical additives while wearing clothes washed in carcinogenic mainstream laundry detergent made out of stuff that will give you cancer anyway. The professor may be brilliant in mathematics, in other words, but he's unknowingly bathing his entire body in cancer-causing chemicals at the same time. Not too bright.
Well, Vinny, when I talk IQ, you know, I wasn't saying an IQ test is the only standard of intelligence by any means. I don't agree with that because, a lot of these climate changes will probably blow me to the weeds in an IQ test. Who knows? A lot of them are science buff gurus, supposedly paid off by the UN. But
well, didn't IQ tests have changed recently? That like the bar has been lowered with IQ tests.
Well, it's just like any test; they have to alter it so that the median sits around 50%, pass rate. But anyway, it's a form of relativism. It's not what the whole system's about. But anyway, my point is, street smarts or IQ smarts, a lot of these climate changes have neither. Historical smarts, I mean, whenever they stop me out in the street, you know, hey, you want to sign on, yada, 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 I generally, unless I'm in a real hurry, will pick their brains and give them a rundown. And you find they're just idiots. No, and I'm not even saying I'm smart or anything. I'm just saying, like, I'm a layperson, takes general interest in general things and tries to build a picture from it, looking at other experts. These guys just go, huh. That's industry funded. Oh, you're with ExxonMobil on the climate change debate. No, sorry. The oil companies are on the climate change side because they get the allocations of carbon credits over $67 billion in the first waiver of them. That's Exxon and Royal Dutch Shell and British Petroleum. They got free carbon credits given to them at the expense of taxpayers.
Well, isn't that nice of them?
They're behind it. Of course they're cool. And then they have the audacity, these idiots you come across on the street, and Green Party people, to say you're with the corporations when you're not getting paid to protest out in the streets like they do.
Coming up after the break, open lines 402-237-2525, 402-237-2525. I really want to get into this climate change subject because it just Fs me off to no end. What do you reckon about them? 402-237-2525.
Accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. Was a loser now will be later to win, for the times they are a-changing.
Oh, the times they are a changing, baby. I can assure you it'd be interesting to see if everything stayed the same for any short period of time, wouldn't it? Is change the only constant in the universe? Actually, technically, no, it's not. You know why? Because there's also the speed of light is technically constant. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't get very enlightened, which is why they join groups like Greenpeace, or the green piece of, you know what I mean.
Well, look, it's one up from joining a political party, really. I mean, it's just another form of groupthink, and I can't think for myself, and so we're stronger in this unit, which isn't a bad idea. Everyone likes to, all groups like to form, you know, all peoples of like mind like to form units. The problem is with groups like Greenpeace is they're long co-opted and sold down the river. And then you get these people who don't understand the entire concept of whatever it is they're meant to be agreeing upon. They just understand figments of it and then think they can go out and preach on the street. And that's why I get really insulted, Vinny, when I get some punk come up to me, and he may be younger than me, maybe my age. I don't really care. He may be 55. Doesn't matter to me. It doesn't bother me. What bothers me is I had one guy say, care to stop and take a flyer on climate change? I said, no, I'm in a hurry. He said, because going shopping is more important than helping the world, isn't it? Something to that effect? And I stopped and I turned around and I said, do you know anything about me? He goes, no, why does it matter? You don't seem to be worried about climate change, yada, yada, yada. I said, I'm concerned about the world, mate. I've got more resistance in me than your whole ancestral line. You know, like, you don't know anything about me. Don't judge people on the street like that because you think you're on a pedestal doing Al Gore's dirty work.
I'm doing God's work, you know, and I love it, man. It really is. Getting approached by a Greenpeace person, I approached in the same way as getting approached by a Jehovah's Witness or a Christian or a Muslim or somebody. They're trying to convert you, all right? Now, whatever they're doing, okay, it may be good, it may be bad or whatever, you know, it's not for me to judge them really as a person along those lines. But if people don't do what I want them to do, it doesn't mean that it gives me free license to just go ahead and insult them, you know, because I don't know anything about them. When I was a salesman, for example, I mean, you can't help it when people are rude to you or they don't buy what you're selling them or whatever. Sure, you get a little bit ticked off, but you don't say anything. All right,
the thing is, they say you as soon as you have any skepticism towards climate change, they're like, oh yeah, just keep maintaining the status quo with your business friends and capitalism's great, isn't it? Look what capitalism's done for the world, and they get on the cynical line with all these base assumptions that you're some National ACT supporter, Tory, National Front almost, on the false right-wing paradigm side of things.
Sounds a lot like George Bush, you know, you're either with us or against us, and that's the interesting dichotomy that we have here,
well,
isn't it?
I am against them, but I'm not against them on the terms that they think I am. So they can't just say, oh, keep maintaining the status quo and supporting big business, when they are supporting the Federal Reserve Bank and the fractional reserve banking system by way of their climate change argument, which is just an excuse for global taxation.
And so global governance.
But even without the global governance, they are provably peddling, whether it's truth or lies, an idea that lays out the path for global taxation and global governance. They are paving the way for the system to legislate itself. Without this giant excuse that they have manipulated science to and propelled propaganda to people's minds in order to sell, without this excuse, it would never happen.
Yep.
They would need some other threat. They would need an alien threat.
All these bright scientists, you know, there's now this huge gap in practical intelligence among the so-called smartest people, right? And, you know, countless doctors and conventional healthcare providers are brilliant in their own fields and don't even know the basics of nutrition, just like, countless climatologists and scientists and that kind of thing. They have no idea about the sun's effect on the earth. You know, it's just ridiculous. You know,
we've got this.
Most people cannot assimilate the big picture. And what's lacking in these people is their ability to see the bigger picture by assimilating information from a large number of seemingly unrelated sources.
You can be a perfect cuboid stone in a pyramid. You can be perfect, but you're not going to be aware of all the other stones on top or below you, and you're not going to be aware of the concentration. You're not going to be aware of the axis, the apex of the pyramid.
Exactly. You can't see the big picture because you're lost in the details.
And they love the details, and it gives meaning to them, you see. They get to wear the badges, the symbols, the icons of power. I work for this institute at the UN. Oh, I'm powerful. Oh, I'm taking my family on holiday at the end of this series of lies I'm publishing. You know, and oh, it feels good to be part of this system, and I'm with the establishment, and then they're just going to kill them at the end of it. You know, they're just willing dupes. They don't know what they're heading towards. They're just people who are good at digging their own graves very efficiently, and they're saying, you know, oh, look, Will, you should dig a grave too. Well, you can't dig it as fast as me. You're too busy arguing with the system. You just need to go along with it and dig that hole faster, boy.
Mm-hmm, I mean,
That's what it's like. It's all, but that's the whole system. I mean,
well, the whole system's predicated on repetition, right? And memorization is not intelligence. You know, if you can memorize and regurgitate huge amounts of facts and figures, it doesn't mean you're a bright person. It means you're a freaking dumbass slave.
Well, I've got a sort of photographic mind. I can regurgitate stuff, but I try and think about them too. And I don't just take it and spit it out. Hope I don't anyway. 4 a.m. last night, I'm trying to get to sleep. I turn on the freaking TV for some strange reason. And has that Jeremy Kyle idiot talk show on? You seen that guy? Some pommy guy who kind of deals with like, okay, I want to use some... I don't want to use bad terms here. It deals with lower socioeconomic groups in Britain.
Oh, wait, the British guy, and he's always talking about people. It's like the Jerry Springer of Britain, except he's not flamboyant and stuff like that. Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
He's somewhat flamboyant. Anyway, there was some guy on there who slept with his brother's wife or something, and they were having a big tiff on air, and it was just really bad, just horrible to see how these people had been. They were just products of society. Just products of the fiat currency, pretty much. And it was sad. I feel sorry for them. They've been in prison and whatnot, drugs, alcohol, abuse, everything. But anyway, Jeremy Kyle, you know, because he's the big man on there and he's the righteous one, he stands up and he says to this guy, are you working? Guy says, no. Are you smoking drugs? Guy says, yeah, smoke pot once a day. How am I paying? Am I paying for that as a taxpayer? Am I paying for that as a taxpayer? Suppose so. Jeremy Kyle says, how about you get a job, stop drinking, stop smoking, and be a role model for society like the rest? And I thought to myself, oh, it's so simple. It's so simple to be a slave, isn't it? Because I'm not sticking up for the drug dealer guy, but at the same time, Jeremy Kyle and his disposition is no better. He's an aider and a better to all the scum that run this planet by thinking that all someone needs to do is get a job and pay their taxes and stop other people taking up taxes, and then somehow everyone will get all their money back and the world will just be at peace with each other. I mean, what an idiot. You get rid of all the pot smokers who bludge off the dole tomorrow and you are still going to be paying more than 50% of your wages in some form of tax, Jeremy Kyle, you freaking idiot. He's the idiot. So Jeremy Kyle stands up to him and puts himself one layer on the up on the pyramid. I want to stand in front of Jeremy Kyle and go, hey, you son of a gun. You're no example to society. Look at you, you piece of filth. You've never once resisted that demon of yours, Queen Elizabeth II. You've never once stood up against fluoride being swept across your local town, killing and doing severe damage to the brains of little children. I mean, you've never resisted. I mean, you've just never done anything for society. You just think that working for some corrupted TV network or whatever you work in, whatever you recommend to people, is the solution to everything. You see how he thinks he's smart by saying that? It's the same with climate changers. They think they're one up on you because they think they understand it all.
Well, and that's the thing. It's just elitism, purely and simply, isn't it? You know, and you can be an elite scumbag whilst still being an actual useless piece of filth that has no power and no free will or nothing. You know, you can be an elitist slave. Isn't that ironic? You've got no control over your life whatsoever, and then you think that you're better because you have no control over your own life, that now you can look down on other people who try to do something a little different or whatever. You know, F those people, because they're just a bunch of pathetic slime slave scum, purely and simply.
The way I see society moves forward, though, Vinny, is Jeremy Kyle can say to the dole bludger, I hate you, you're ruining this country, you're selling it down the river, because you're taking our tax money. But then I can go to Jeremy Kyle, you know, I don't like you. You're selling this country down the river because you're not resisting tyranny. But then someone can say to me, I hate you, and so it goes on. This is how society should progress. But instead, we're being kept down in some sort of limbo area where the equivalent of Jeremy Kyle is down the road from me. My own uncle, the biggest problem to him is solo mums on the dole.
Yep, and he doesn't
what
care about...
What a freaking idiot. He's a piece of trash who's never resisted any form of tyranny in his life. John Key just instituted a climate change tax on him. He's paying to drive his Toyota Surf around 3 cents a litre extra. He doesn't care because he's a piece of trash. But he can still dish out judgment on other people. So it's time to judge them. That's all I say. Because until he's at the apex of the pyramid, until he's reached some sort of enlightenment, until he's worked out that this planet isn't about serving some phony government institution, or satisfying the Joneses down the road, until he's worked out something novel about life, then who the hell is he to judge someone who doesn't want to work their entire life? Who would want to be a bludger anyway? Who'd want to sit around all their life anyway? That's not very inspiring. We shouldn't hate these people. We should feel sorry for them.
Absolutely. And, and when we talk about judgment here, we're not talking about, you know, we should be, you know, your voice of reason or anything like that. You should be the judge, okay? Nobody else has that responsibility over you. You have to do it for yourself, okay? Personal responsibility is the only thing that you can wind up having of any real value. Figuring things out for yourself is the only freedom anybody really has. Remember that from a movie called Starship Troopers, where, of course, he elected, very kindly, of course, to go off, volunteer for the military services, and wind up going off and, killing and dying in some distant battlefield, fighting a race of, some description of enemy that doesn't really even threaten them in the first place.
Here's something for the fake conservative big government anti-doll bludger crowd to think about. If we didn't have such a communist, integrated, total taxation society in the first place, then it wouldn't affect you in any dollar figure way if someone was out there surfing on the beach their entire life and had nothing to do with your society. If we had some sort of individualism and personal power and the ability to follow our own pursuits and our own dreams and our own wants and needs, regardless of other people, as long as we don't hurt one another, then what should it bother me if someone wants to take off to Cali and go surfing their entire life and pretend they're, I don't know, Peter Pan or something and sleep with 19-year-old girls at age 55? What should it bother me? We have an integrated communist society. That's why it has some effect on you.
Yeah, because it's all about collectivism. Everybody's the fault and everybody's to blame for everybody else. There's no personal frickin' responsibility. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back. News, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Well, on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Cruise in there, have a look at my videos, and we've got a great show blog in there, orchestrated by our somewhat fabulous producer, Mitch Santel. In fact, speaking of which, the listeners. We do get a fair amount of feedback, all of it greatly appreciated, because, man, most of our listeners are really, really cool cats, man, seriously. And, I try my best to reply to pretty much everything that we get here, because we appreciate everybody listening. And incidentally, some interesting things happen as a result of people coming on this show. For example, you may remember... a while back, and if you go to the Kiwi Collaborators section of the archives on the Vinnie Eastwood Show, you can listen to this interview with Bob Stevens from PH10 Water, which is probably the best water in the world, bar none. He went down to his local Indian takeaways, and lady behind the counter goes, "Oh, you're Bob, man. I listened to you on the Vinnie Eastwood Show." And then she bought some of his water. You know, how awesome is that? Oh, what a tangled web we weave. And it speaks to me saying that, you know, we're all connected in some way, but it doesn't mean we're collectively responsible. I mean, I don't hold myself responsible to anybody except myself, you know, and hopefully I don't turn into some description of megalomaniac, as a lot of people do when they try to, you know, amplify their voices on like radio and all of that, and they turn into opinionated psychos like Michael Laws that we've got here in this country, who's basically just promotes eugenics all day long. And hate speech. You know.
Poor old Lawsy, eh? Oh, he's all right on certain issues, but
he agrees with us pretty much on the climate change issue. But then again, interestingly enough, I find it really strange that he would disagree with the climate change issue, because it's in a most part a eugenics movement.
And the funny thing is, he won't agree with us about the climate change movement in the sense that it's about bringing about a one world government, because he's not a one world government conspiracy theorist. See, so all these people are just accident theorists in their own right, chaos theorists, coincidence theorists. You know, you could rob their house, blow up their car and kill their family, and they'd say it's all a coincidence. Not that I'm advocating anything. But I mean, like, that's seriously what it's like.
Not that you're advocating anything. No.
But it's seriously what it's like with these people. It's really sad. They don't know that the human mind designed to see patterns for our own survival and protection mechanisms. That's what allowed us to defeat larger primates and mammals.
Well, you know what's funny, Will, is that skeptics, right, they're never skeptical of the establishment, of course. They're never skeptical of anything except alternatives, right? And you know what's interesting? You brought up an interesting point here about people recognizing patterns, and that's the reason why we've risen to prominence and been able to, you know, beat down other species and stuff like that. Well, guess what the skeptics think is a bad thing? Recognizing patterns. That's right. I recognize a pattern there. It's called the pattern of retarded.
But then they made a nice little mind map. Venn diagram, and where they put yours truly in it, and
it's a mindless map, bro. Yeah,
made by a PhD student who's now qualified, Matthew Denteith, who refuses to come on the show. But anyway, he has his own radio show here on BFM in New Zealand. If anyone wants to tune in and listen to his mindless garbage. He made a mind map asserting a conspiracy amongst the conspiracy theorists, when anyone involved in our circles knows that we can't agree on anything over here, and we're certainly not a cabal hell-bent on overthrowing anyone or anything. It's ridiculous.
Hey, wait, so, hold on a second. Aren't we hell-bent about overthrowing the current power structure of the world and, you know, having a free humanity?
Yeah, but not in any sort of violent or integrated way. I mean, he was trying to.
Oh, yeah,
to
well,
say
that's what they want. They want a violent resistance so that they'll have justification to come in and just, you know, clamp us all in manacles and charge us off to the prison camps.
I mean, what I just said before about us being able to outcompete larger and more powerful animal species due to our intellect proves the theory of whether revolutions are best fought violently or in the mind. The mind is far more powerful, and that's what allowed us to outcompete more physically powerful organisms. So why should you think that using physical force is going to be a more effective means of revolution, when physical force could never allow us to defeat a brown bear, for instance? So, of course, it's self-explanatory for anyone with a thinking mind or would have thought. People have this big debate. It needs to be a violent resistance. Only revolution is a violent revolution. Yeah, those were all Illuminati-funded revolutions like the French Revolution. Look what happened there. Look at the great country they have. May we fill the furrows of our fields with the blood of our enemies. Yeah, beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I mean, let's just go sit around singing Stalin songs. Shoot them all, shoot them all. And, you know, it's a funny thing, right, is that all these violent things, all these violent regimes that have come around throughout the years, they all claim to be bringing about this sort of utopian ideal that's going to be somewhat fabulous for absolutely everybody, when the reality couldn't be further from the truth, and they're just going to wind up exterminating you, and once they've exterminated you, then they'll turn on each other. All right.
What do skeptics
violence
do, Vinny?
Breeds violence.
And I could make direct quotes here from Skeptics Society members in New Zealand. They say, these people are really dangerous. People like Vinny and Will, they're really dangerous because they could incite some loose person to go out and shoot members of the government or something. I mean, they're really dangerous. We can't have freedom of speech because some nutball might take it the wrong way. Are you kidding me? So we need to have this sterile society where everyone just talks about, you know, Britney Spears' dress and so that no one gets upset and no one does anything dangerous. I mean, come on, mm-hmm. give me a break. So we might be dangerous because we might, rile up some nut. But what is provably dangerous, not an if but or maybe, is if you allow governments to do what they do and assume there's no such thing as conspiracy, conspiracy will happen and has happened and rule your life. That's what's not up for debate.
Yep, that's right. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, right after the break.
In the belly of the vulture, watch your back. There's no civilians, women, children, front lines, listen. Consider this a distant, early warning. The fire's imminent, pollution gathering dust particles funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation too fed. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.
There, guys,
we're back, ladies and gentlemen, with a very special guest, Paul Tassopoulos. He has two websites, ladies and gentlemen, 911artists.com, that's artists with an S, and also 911truther.com. Paul, welcome to the Vinny Eastwood Show.
Thank you very much, Vincent. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Well, we love to give the show up as a platform for truthers and activists and researchers from all over the world to basically come on and speak their piece. And I wanted to know, Paul, what woke you up to 9/11 being an inside job?
You know, I had a friend in England who started sending me emails, you know, about the Solomon Brothers building, Building 7. I was looking at it. It didn't quite coalesce, though. My cousin sent me, it was like the last 10 minutes. You know how they chop up videos on YouTube? He sent me like the last 10 minutes of Zeitgeist. And I watched it, just blew my mind. I'm like, what is this? You know, so I figured out what it was and I watched the whole thing. And I guess when I was watching Zeitgeist and I saw that image of Building 7 coming down, in kind of in conjunction with the emails that my friend was sending me, the thing kind of, how would you describe it? It was like an epiphany, right? It was something kind of gelled. I realized, you know, something really is, you know, something's going on here. I got to be looking into this.
It was amazing, wasn't it, that whole collapse? I mean, I saw it and I was like, whoa, we need to get a big screen, get like, I don't know, $10,000, $20,000, get a big screen and stick us out on the street and it will just uncover it in a day. Then I realized people can deny reality. But like you can put your thumb on the computer screen. That's what I did straight away, and on any corner of WTC7 coming down, but the closest corner on the right hand side of the building, and as it comes down, it just traces a perfectly straight line. It's like that's not an organic, you know, naturally aspirated fire collapse. Something's gone on there. And then, you know, the skeptic said, oh, it's the way the trusses were designed. It had to fall in that manner. It couldn't have fell any other way. No conspiracy here.
It's like, move along, folks. No conspiracy here.
It was demolished, right? It looks like it was demolished. It's so clear.
Yeah. It's like, move along, folks. No controlled demolition to see here. You don't have to go. You don't have to go home, but you can't think this way.
Like it, but it didn't fall perfect. It damaged, it blew out a few windows on the building next to it. I mean, for argument's sake, it fell perfectly. I'm sure there was debris here and there, but it was nothing like the World Trade Center, the two towers. It was a more of a conventional controlled demolition from the top down, you know, just.
Totally.
Pretty amazing.
Artists for 9/11 truth.
Well, you know, when I found out about this, I mean, it's kind of necessitated action, right? So I just got my first computer. It was about 3 years ago. And I started, I was gassing on it. I have so much fun. I've just discovered the internet, and I discovered Photoshop, and I started making art. And I didn't know what to do. So I was just learning how to make websites. You know, I'm still learning how to do it. And I just decided to... to take where I was and to try to somehow use it to benefit the situation. So I started 911artists.com, and I saw, some people found me. I started broadcasting their art. Many people, they kept saying artists for 911 truth, artists for 911 truth. I didn't really understand the reference. I started calling artists for 911 truth. And I've just been broadcasting people's art and interacting with people. I use it as a vehicle to connect with people. You know, I try to support people in whatever way that I can and broadcast. You know, I want to broadcast the human spirit. And really, there's some very beautiful things going on here. And, I try to support people technically, like when they contact me online and, various things like that.
A man after my own heart. Paul Tassopoulos from 911artist.com and 911truther.com, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back after this short break on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Yeah, and no one like me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Congratulations, you made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
Yeah,
but I'm here now. So what you wanna do?
Huh?
How many dudes you really know can flow? Like this, like this, like this, let's do it. How many dudes you know vote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any, not many, if any. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know
anybody. Welcome back, ladies and gents, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, broadcasting 5 days a frickin' week on a couple of different radio stations across the United States, including one in Norway and one in the Tron. That's Hamilton for the non-New Zealanders. It is a nice, beautiful, sunny, hot, warm day in Auckland, and for goodness sake, the humidity is high. Not a good state of affairs if you happen to be Bad Jelly the Witch. Now, our very special guest is Paul Tassopoulos from 911artist.com and 911truther.com. Paul, welcome back.
Thanks, Vinny.
Now, we got into a discussion before, and I wanted you to elaborate because I asked you a question on the break. How far down the rabbit hole have you gone, and do you, with the New World Order and the Bilderberg Group and all of that? And you started talking about how you don't like people kind of making that reference. Could you elaborate on that?
Well, look, I want people to say what they want and express themselves. There's a validity to it. But, to me, when all these references to Carol and you're falling down a rabbit hole, you're a powerless little girl in dress. You can't see what's going on. It's dark. I don't think we are that, right? And, of course, the references to Orwell, you constantly see those, 1984. And I think if I understand, I read that book a long time ago, right? But I think the message was that kind of hopeless, right? Or that the individual's really, there's only the illusion of power. And I really disagree with those references. I think we're incredibly powerful, and I think we can. I think that it's almost like people are talking themselves powerless or talking themselves negative.
I think, right? The references.
So
are
I disagree.
Made
I disagree with the references.
I think the references are just made. I think the references are just made to show the authoritarian nature of the system, not so much a reference to the individual within the system. But just, in 1984, well, it's kind of like a combination of Brave New World and 1984, what we're marching into, because it's using technology as well as traditional totalitarian control methodology. But yeah, I mean, individuals always feel useless. That's why most people who deny there's a conspiracy at all say, well, what can you do about the system? It's kind of funny. And so if everyone just says, oh, what can I do? Give up. Stop resisting. Stop having a problem with any authority figures. I mean, they're already consigned to the so-called fact in their head.
Yeah, I love those people who think that what can I do about it is a rhetorical question, you know? You're actually supposed to think, what can I do about it? Do I have skills as an artist? Do I have skills as a musician? Do I have skills as a broadcaster? Do I have any skill? Right, if you are a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker, you can fight and you can win against tyranny.
You know, have you heard the old adage? You know, if you have to ask, don't bother. If you have to ask how, don't even try, don't even begin. Like if you have to ask, how do I rebuild that engine on that Lamborghini Diablo over there? Don't even try, mate. You're going to wreck something. Well, it's like, how do I resist the New World Order? It's running every aspect of our lives. Look, you have to ask. Hey, man, you should probably carry on listening to Lady Gaga because it's a complex, difficult field.
Oh, yeah, remember, that's a taboo. We're not allowed to say that here. We have to call her Mr. Gaga.
Look, man, the idea is in relation to the situation, we really don't know how powerful we are or our opponents are, because there's no way to know. I mean, just by nature, there's like a secret society, right? So so what do you do in a situation like that? Obviously, we're all in danger. You know, 3,000 people or so were killed in New York, and there's all these millions are dying all over the world, right, for various things, war. Look, there's no choice about it. You got to jump in. Like, we're being attacked, I think, right, whether it's economically or environmentally or whatever, conceptually or even just physically, right? So what are you going to do? You jump in. And you fight. Like when you're in a fight with someone, I'm sure you've been in fist fights with someone, you don't think about like, oh, am I winning? Am I not? No, you just fight. You jump in. You take what you got and you push, right? And then if you do that, you know, you may have a chance, right? So anyway, that's my philosophy on it.
Well, if you do something, you have a chance. Now, that's a decent philosophy. If you do nothing, what chance have you got?
Well, I was saying to a friend yesterday, you know, for every Newton's first law, for every action, there has to be an equal and opposite reaction. The founding fathers actually drafted a lot of legislation based upon that ideal. And what we have now is there's an elite who have an agenda. Okay, that's stepping stone number one, people have to realize. If someone has an agenda and they have money and power and they're getting their way and they have no equal and opposite force resisting them, they're going to get their way. It's no ifs, buts, or maybes. If I'm pushing a ball in front of me and the ball can't push back, it's going to roll down a hill. It's just obvious. So people have to put themselves in the way of these institutions and these people once they identify them. The problem with the climate change movement and socialist Aotearoa and all these sorts of people is they haven't rightly identified the resistance and who's pushing the ball that is society. You know, they haven't identified the puppet masters, so they can't even resist.
Yep. And the mainstream media doesn't help. It's like I said on yesterday, how it's like parrots and puppets are breeding to create a media personality. You know, they're going, rah, terrorists, rah. You know, these people are just like basically, I mean, you know, Bali wants some propaganda.
Totally.
But then we're conditioned to think that this is life, aren't we? I mean, as an artist, you're someone who can think outside the box. I mean, isn't it obvious that we're kind of living in these aquariums and people are telling us, no, you can't go outside the other side of the glass. You can't breathe the air over there. You know, you've got to live in a box.
Totally.
And we're back live, ladies and gentlemen. We apologize for the technical difficulties. We have no idea what just happened, but in the meantime, we decided that we were going to record a little interview while we were on that little short unscheduled break.
Yeah, sorry about that, folks. We hope it wasn't any mal intrusion, but we will assume not, and carry on with our interview with Paul here.
Paul,
are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Right, great.
Yeah, we were talking about individualism and resistance to the New World Order in that respect. And what was your philosophy on it there, Paul?
I mean, you just gotta look with all your mind and all your heart at what's inside of you and what's in front of you. You got to face and you got to see the truth, right? And then you got to, I guess, right? And then if someone else is trying to do that, like, you got to tell them what's going on. And if they make the decision to jump in, then you got to give them everything you got from your heart and your mind too, in terms of just whatever, being with them or helping them do what they need to do. And you got to be the champion on it. So that's what I think. But it's the revolution of the individual. It's the liberation of each individual. How would you say it? Physically, right? And intellectually and spiritually. And that's what I think is what's going to win. And that's what I try to do.
Well, that kind of weighs into what we were saying earlier about how some people can have like 170 plus IQs, but then not be able to see the obvious truth that we're sort of wading into a worldwide tyranny here. But they're very smart at what they do and very good at what they do. And the point being that it's not just an intellectual pursuit in understanding all these facts and figures, that a lot of the time these people have increased their intellectual abilities, but at the same time they've hardened their hearts. You know what I mean? Mm. They haven't softened their hearts, or they're not open to, I don't know, to the full experience of what it is to be human somehow.
Yeah, I think individualism trumps collectivism every time, because collectivism makes everybody the same. And the thing that makes humanity awesome is that we're all different and we're all unique and we've all got awesomeness about us, you know?
Exactly. Exactly, man. Collectivism, okay, you could argue the ultimate drive, the ultimate bad outcome of individualism is some sort of, I don't know, everyone's out for themselves, dog-eat-dog world, but then if you look at the ultimate ends of collectivism, it's everyone goose-stepping in the same uniform.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about this more after the break. It's a scheduled break this time. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and The Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Our very special guest is Paul Tassopoulos from 911artists.com. Unity, please don't deserve.
There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Resistance and tyranny, it's all just a little bit of history repeating. Welcome back. And also welcome back to our very special guest from 911artists.com, Paul Tassopoulos. Welcome back, buddy.
Thanks, Vinnie.
All right. Now, speaking of artwork, I'm just looking at one of your ones here. It's called The Nightbringer. Could you explain what's going on in this little baby?
Well, don't ask me, but I mean, everyone's got to take a look at it for themselves, I hope. This is Roger Morris. Roger Morris, I would describe myself as just in awe and disbelief of the human being and of the artist here. I would describe him as a fine artist and one of the great truth movement artists, you know. And this is just one of his great pieces. It's called The Nightbringer. You can see it on 911artist.com. And I just can't say enough about it. Roger is a revolutionary artist and activist. You know, he's very active. He was involved in, when Gage came to Wellington, I guess I heard you refer to earlier, and he's on the street. I mean, it's really something else. It's one of many great ones by him.
Yeah. I went through his catalog yesterday after I had a chat with him. He's a really cool, cool dude, man. And, that's the interesting thing about the truth movement, isn't it? It's occupied by a heck of a lot of really cool and very talented people. Wouldn't you agree?
It's mind blowing. It's one of the greatest stories of all time, the way people are standing up and being so creative and courageous. It's truly a remarkable thing, beautiful thing.
And, you know, yourself personally, I mean, what's your form of art? How do you really express your 9/11 was an inside jobness, if that's even a word?
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I try to do a lot of things, you know. And, you know, I try to make some visual art. Like I said, I got my first computer. I play around with Photoshop and I blog, you know, and I interact with people online. I make websites. I guess primarily I'm a musician, and I've done two piano pieces specifically for the, you know, original short pieces for piano. So, I mean, I just do whatever I can. I throw myself, like, I see an opportunity, I see something, like, I make a video. You know, it's such an exciting time in digital art because the PC, you can do everything with it, right? You figure out how to do it. You don't know how to do it, you just Google it. It tells you how to do it.
Yeah. Well, as long as you can work Google, you can do anything, right? You know?
Oh, it's wild. I mean, it really is quite an amazing thing. So yeah. I just try my hand at whatever I want to try, I just jump in on it.
Yeah, I'm a man after my own heart. I mean, you know, I do radio and video, and I sing a little bit, and I dance, and, you know, basically, I mean, I've got bazillions of creative outlets that I can do, but I can only do one at a time is the problem.
Yeah.
And more specifically, I mean, you're a website designer, so how did you really get into designing websites, and what really brought you in to being active with 9/11 Truth? I mean, were you spoken to by other truthers who sort of, you know, connected with you and just talking about the topics and the issues, or what?
No, you know, I've really met a lot of people. I know a lot of people in the truth movement. I've really met them really quite long after I jumped into and started broadcasting. And, you know, my approach is that I just broadcast directly, and I try to support people directly. I try to talk to people directly. I'm not really a website designer. You know, I guess I really started doing that because I enjoyed it at first, but then I realized the necessity. I'm like, look, you know, something's really going on here. The internet's free right now. We can broadcast. I had to jump on it. So I just started making the best websites I could and supporting other people trying to do the same thing. Because, I mean, you know, apparently we have a great resource here. Like, it appears to be a great resource, and you got to jump on it. What else are you going to do? You gotta, like, if you got a chance to speak up, you got to do it. And the internet might be that chance right now.
Well, it certainly is. You know, I mean, if it wasn't for the internet, we wouldn't be able to do this show. If it wasn't for the internet, I mean, all of us truthers would be like the New World Order wants us to believe. We'd all feel like we're alone.
Totally, you know? Yeah.
And it's perfectly fine being an individual, just as long as you're not alone in that. You know what I'm saying? This is the irony, you know, the tiptoe effect.
That's a very beautiful and interesting statement. We're gonna have to coalesce that, and so I can be quoting you in the future on that. That's cool.
All
it's
right,
great. It's okay
right.
to be individual, but you don't want to be alone. That's beautiful. I've never heard anything like that before. It's so true, though.
Well, thank you. I've got a million of them, so, you know. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, if I say anything that sounds real cool on the show, steal it, claim that it's yours, go right ahead. I've got a million more.
Well, no, I don't think they should claim that it's theirs. I mean, they should give you credit for it. They should quote you.
Oh, well, if they want to give me credit, you know, that's fine. But, you know, if you just want to say it offhand, off the cuff, as it were, I've got no problems. Yep. And I thought, you know, 9/11 is just such the big F-off topic, man. I mean, seriously. And I love Roger's artwork here. I mean, he's got like this wonderful sort of tower, right, of all these pop, 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 pull, 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 pop, 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 and all these symbols like a crucifix, a swastika, a pentagram, and a Star of David all the way up. And it's like he's saying that the towers themselves are blowing up, and as they blow up, as they get popped out and destroyed, everything about religious belief and symbolism to do with fascism and everything gets brought down with it, or rather brought up in a certain way. And he's trying to say some very interesting things here, and it's the Nightbringer. So it takes away all light, and it turns it into something so, I don't know, mixed up, all over the place and kerfuddled, which I think it really symbolizes the chaos of that day.
Yeah, totally. But you know what I really love about, like what you're talking about is so interesting and subtle. But to me, it's that clear image where the head is replaced with a circle and there's a plane in the center of it. Like, that's such a simple, moving image, right? Something like that. It really strikes me, in other words.
And, you know, it kind of brings me to another point is that, you know, with guests on this show, I mean, we have people from all different walks of life and all people of all different beliefs. You know, my philosophy is, you know, on the points you agree, come together and collaborate. On the points that you don't agree, you know, don't even bother discussing them a lot of the time, unless, of course, you can have a reasonable debate and whatnot and discuss facts and figures in a certain debating type fashion. But in general, you know, I wanted to sort of symbolize the truth movement as itself as being a movement of infinite diversity. You know, there's artists, there's musicians, there's architects and engineers, there's doctors, there's scientists, there's school kids, there's this, that, and the other broadcasters. You know, everybody, everywhere is potentially a 9/11 truther. You know,
most people got no idea that even like someone like Sharon Stone doesn't believe the official story of 9/11. You know, that's how kind of mainstream this is getting now.
Totally.
Fucking heck, I mean, man.
We've got
yeah, but I'm very interested in what you're talking about with debates, though. Debates are very interesting. You know, I really believe that there's a way to change the animosity and argument and really make a positive out of it. I've been, you know, I make forums sometimes, and, you know, there have been a lot of great forum debates that you may have seen. I actually also had two great audio debates with Craig Ranke of the Citizen Investigation Team, and it was a very great thing. You know, he came on with John Bursill, who you may know. He's kind of a famous truther, and they really had a great debate, Australia. A two-and-a-half-hour debate about the Pentagon. That was on my podcast, you know, an iTunes podcast show. And then Craig had another debate with a very interesting figure known as Jeff Hill. Jeff Hill has a website called pumpitout.com, and he just about a few months ago, he started calling all these Pentagon witnesses, and they're telling him, you know, very interesting things that conflict with a lot of other data. You know, there's a lot of conflicting data at the Pentagon. But you see, if people want to fight, that's good. But if there's a way to do it so you can do it in such a way so it's interesting and effective and people can understand it and it's fair, I think that the disagreements can be turned into a great benefit, and I'm actually already working on doing that. So
I totally agree. Right? These debates need to be had, and I wish this could happen on a public forum with some big named people. Because, like, I don't need celebrities to tell me 9/11 was an inside job, but sadly, a lot of other people do. You know, Woody Harrelson has come out and said there was no question, like, this was a huge intelligence failure, and then what we've come to understand is it wasn't a failure; it was a directive. I mean, Woody Harrelson says 9/11 was an inside job directed by the intelligence agencies. I mean, why can't we have celebrities debating this around a table? So you can get a bunch of shills on their side. I mean, Bruce Willis agrees with Woody Harrelson. Bruce Willis is a 9/11 truther. Brad Pitt even is. But then there's 1,400 architects and engineers. There's over 250 pilots. These are guys who know the, you know, flight dynamics of a 747-400, sorry, a 757 or a 767. I mean, 400-plus professors, 300-plus 9/11 survivors and family members.
Okay, so yeah, but you see, the thing is, what you're talking gone. About is you're talking about generating something that can convince people. And I don't really think that you can talk people into it, because I think what happens is when they see these very clear things, like they see Building 7 or they see Mineta saying, you know, that Cheney said this, you know, don't shoot, you know, it appeared that he said don't shoot the plane, right? All these things, like, you know, the lack of military response. I honestly think that I candidly tell you that I don't think that you can talk them into it. I think that they see it and they got a choice to make, and they're going to make that choice.
Yeah, that's what the Building What campaign.
Right, yeah, you just got to show it to them, and then people got to choose their path, right? But you got to show it to them. A lot of people don't know, though.
We shouldn't just choose from gut feelings, because gut feelings can be manipulated. A lot of people's gut is in line with what's going on, but a lot of people's guts are just completely co-opted, so to speak. I mean, so I think people need to come from an educated standpoint. Like, people think that 9/11 truth is we've been categorized by the fake right, like Bill O'Reilly, as a bunch of, I don't know, pot-smoking hippie leftist anarchists or something. And then the leftists say, oh, no, we're anti-war. We don't think it was an inside job. Those are anti-Semitic conspiracy theorists on the far right. You know, so all these guys are dingbat idiots. They don't know anything, really. But if you can show them someone like Lieutenant Colonel Robert Bowman, PhD, Director of Advanced Space Programs Development under Ford and Carter, you know, someone who is an aeronautical engineering expert, mathematics expert, that this isn't pseudoscience, then maybe that has credibility in the minds of these people. You know what I mean? So
totally,
Vinnie Eastwood
yeah. sure.
might not have any credibility. Will Ryan might not have any credibility. All these people they don't like might not have any credibility, but surely they'd listen to someone who's consulted with the highest levels of government.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe they wouldn't. I mean, because then again, we preach distrust of government, don't we? So that way, you know, we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot.
Well, I have distrust of the intellectual idiot. Institutions, though, right?
Yeah.
Look, man, what you're talking about is fine. If it works, it works. But I mean, I see you got to have people look directly at it in a way that they can see it. Right? Well, not like don't ask them to accept the description. Ask them to look directly at it, right?
They already
the
have that.
Building 7 or whatever.
They'll say, I watched it all day, mate. I've seen those buildings come down. No conspiracy, just a random thing that happened.
Their choice. Then that's their choice, and that's all you
can
do.
It's not their choice. It's a propagandized choice. It's not their choice.
Well, they're programmed somehow. They're conditioned. They're conditioned.
Exactly. So
why do you think there is conditioning? It's so when a moment of crisis comes up like this, people make that choice, and the status quo is maintained. Right?
Yeah, they were preconditioned to blame Arabs 20 years prior with all the Arab bad guys in the movies after they were using Russians. You know, of course, that's the preconditioning. All I'm saying is they need to be conditioned out of that conditioning with information, facts, figures, numbers. I mean, real stuff you can bite your teeth into.
Like counter-conditioning techniques, you know what I'm saying?
Hmm.
You know, it needs to be done, you know, because conditioning isn't something that just happens in your shower, ladies and gentlemen. It happens all the time, everywhere, you know. Almost everything that you're exposed to, whether it be on the television, the radio, or internet websites, or whatever, it's all conditioning in some way, shape, or form.
So they would call that paranoid.
Well, it's not paranoid to think that everything I do has at least a minute effect on me, and cumulatively, if I'm doing a heck of a lot of things and watching a heck of a lot of videos about something, those things have a cumulative effect, you know? And if you're raised in, say, schooling society and watching the mainstream media and, the whole general slave mantra, then it's undoubtedly pretty logical that those things would have an effect on you. It's like saying, oh, my life doesn't have an effect on me. Which is not paranoid. That's just dumb. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Our very special guest is Paul Tassopoulos from 911artists.com and 911truther.com. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back, folks. Gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's Christmas every day where we give you the gift of laughter and knowledge. And don't worry, if you're bad, we won't give you a lump of coal instead. Welcome back, especially welcome back to our very special guest, Paul Tassopoulos from 911artists.com. And we were talking over the break about conditioning and even Christmas, you know, and I came up with another great quote or whatever. Maybe it's not so great, but knowing 9/11 is an inside job is like giving up smoking. Sometimes it's really difficult. Wait. It's really good for you. And if you don't do it, you're pretty stupid. Pretty much.
It's true. And I did give up smoking, and it is very similar. You're absolutely right. 100%. Totally.
Because you're addicted to believing what the government tells you. And this is something that the CIA figured out, is that brainwashing is addictive.
No, absolutely. It's called TV.
We're giving up drugs. Yeah. We're giving up drugs of the mind here by realizing 9/11 is an inside job and resisting government, aren't we?
It's a drug of illusion. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Just hook it to my veins.
Because lies are easy to believe in a lot of the time. Because lies comfort people. And people like to be comfortable.
Well, it comes to the great white lie kind of premise, isn't it? You know, where it's good to just tell somebody a lie if it'll make them feel better rather than telling them the truth, which will make them feel awful. It's like, for goodness sake, we're not made of glass. You know, we're not going to just smash into a million pieces if you just tell us something that's inconvenient to know. We deal with terrible realities every day. And it's very ironic that people would say, oh, you know, you got to go along to get along, when anybody who does go along to get along winds up in a concentration camp of some description, you know, because they didn't wake up to the truth earlier. Because, look, if you're unwilling to accept hard facts, be prepared to accept harsh treatment. Okay.
And it's not even that you might end up in a concentration camp. The penalties of succumbing to tyranny are already here. They're already here. We're already being sprayed against our will. We already have poison water against our will. Already have poison food against our will. Already have been taxed at phenomenal rates against our will. I mean, it's already here. It's already bad enough to justify action.
Yep, and it's the not, environmentalists the don't take happened. Up any of those issues anymore, do they, Will? Because it's now all carte blanche. The environmental movement has been completely hijacked. It's Where's the environmentalist talking about climate? What's it called? Chemtrailing, you know? Where's the environmentalist talking about fluoride in the water? That don't exist. They've gone.
I'm not going to even categorize people and say, where are the environmentalists? Where are the rightists? Where are this, that, and the other? I'm just going to say, where are human beings who care about their own existence? You know, like, where are people without all the brands and labels that I use and society uses just for means of communication, really, just for simplification and to make your point specified more. But in general terms, where are people who care about their, you know, goddamn liberty being messed with? I mean, who has the right? Think about it. Think about it in broad terms. You're born onto this planet. Who knows how we got here, really? Who knows where we're going? Who cares, really? For the sake of this argument, here we are on planet Earth. Who has the right to, when you're walking down the street, come up to you and say, where are you going? Where have you been? What's your name? What's your address? What are you doing? For no good reason.
That's when you say, none of your effing beeswax.
I had that last night, Vinny. I'm out with two friends. I'm driving back. A friend wants to go to the supermarket. Police officer comes behind. As I pull over, he pulls me over. And then he starts asking me for my phone number. I gave him my license. He asked me my phone number. He asked me my address, everything. My friends are just like, oh, that's the law. You've got to do it. Doesn't matter if it's the law. Or, you know, the brown shirts followed the law. They did their job too. I mean, it's so ridiculous. It's not whether something's legal or not. It's whether something's right or wrong. This cop wanted my phone number. I said, good to meet you. My name's Will. Put my hand out. Shook his hand. Said, I'll have my license back. Just like that, authoritatively to him. I took my license. I said, I'll be going now. I put my foot down as hard as I could up to the speed limit. And that was it. He did nothing.
How interesting.
I mean, you just got to tell them because they're trash and they like being bossed around by their slave masters. You just got to go, hey, this is the way it's going to work. Sometimes you get away with it. Sometimes you might end up in a cell.
Yeah. And that's a risk that I generally don't try not to take it because, you know, I've been in a cell a couple of times. Do not like it one, but you know, it's
like confinement.
Yeah.
The fear of not obeying makes people obey. And that's a problem with the world. That's a problem. But the truth movement, as I see it, all is about shedding fear. It's about shedding fear. It's liberty or give me death.
I think it's almost ingrained, you know. When you see a police officer, you instantly have that you know, even if you're doing nothing wrong.
I instantly have resistance. So friends say to me, well, shouldn't you just leave him alone and respond? Isn't that easier? For me, it's not easier. For me, it's like leaving a little old lady who's being mugged alone. I'd go home that night and think, well, I should have jumped in and helped her, even if the guy was bigger than me and would have beaten me up. I should have helped her. I should have done something. That's what it's like when a Gestapo officer, call themselves the police, in a Masonic uniform, pulls me over with taxpayers' money paying for him to cruise around all day. That's what it feels like to me. I have resistance built in me. So does everyone if they would realize it and stop suppressing it with fluoride. I mean, We have it built
in
us.
What about yourself, Paul? Have you had encounters with police officers there?
No, you know something? One time I was pulled over on my motorcycle, and I was, you know how you can go in between lanes on the freeway, and the lanes are really tight, right? So I went off onto the shoulder, not supposed to do that. I got pulled over. The guy was giving me a really hard time, and he gave me a drunk test, and I just was very polite, and I got out of there. But I mean, I really had the feeling of like it was behaving very disrespectful, like he was trying to force a mistake so that I would be locked up. I mean, it's very uncomfortable. I got out of there just barely. I was just very polite.
And you're not allowed to just
really
spit
there. That ethical, though, but I don't know.
You can't answer them.
It's a grim reality.
It's a grim reality sometimes. Thanks so much, Paul, for coming on the show with us today at such short notice. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Thank you to our very wonderful crew, our great listeners at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.